Some bears just have no manners. That was funny, wasn't it? Funny, comical, but sad because sometimes it's so true. So true sometimes, especially in the life of the church. I didn't like his response, but I thought it was comical. I'm not sure if I'll even get to heaven. Do you have anything? And he's like, well, I am a Christian, but I'm not a theologian, so I really wouldn't know what to say. And the problem is that sometimes we think that. But the truth is, we have the best news ever told. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to begin in verse 3. And what I want to talk to us about this morning is that we are all gifted for service. All gifted for service. But that doesn't mean we all have the same, we're all not all gifted in the same way. But I think what I want us to really understand and get is that we are all gifted. We're all gifted for something. We're all given certain gifts to be used for, guess what? Not for you and me, but for others. And we're going to get into that. I want to read this passage to you. If you have your Bibles with you, please follow along. If not, we put it on the Jumbotron up here, for Versatron, if you will. But I'd rather you be reading it out of your own copy of the Word of God. And by the way, if you don't have a copy of the Word of God, I'd love to put one in your hand. I've got some just for that occasion. So if you don't have a copy of the Word of God and you want one, you see me right after church, and I'll put one in your hand. No better thing I think we can do than to give people freely the Word of God for you to have to read and allow the Holy Spirit to interpret that in your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and our members, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him prophesy. Let me back up. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And in the book of 2 Hesitations, chapter 7, verse 19, it says, if you're not gifted with any of these, then you're off the hook and you don't have to serve. Yeah, there's not a book of 2 Hesitations. There's not even a 1 Hesitations. But sometimes we do have hesitations, right? I just thought of all that. That was good. Rebecca's gonna be proud of me. We have hesitations. And what are those hesitations? Why? What keeps us from serving? What keeps us from volunteering? What keeps us from saying, here am I, use me? What keeps us from coming up to the pastor or a ministry leader saying, you know what, I've got some time available. What can I do? Here's the favorite words any pastor would love to hear. Is there anything I can do? Every day you want to make somebody happy, you walk up to him and say, hey, can I do something? I just want to help. Those words will just set somebody on fire. Let me tell you something. Do you ever feel like you've been left out, though, when it comes to your ability to serve God? Do you ever feel like you've been left out? What can I do? I don't feel that God's really blessed me with any special gifts. And sometimes we just feel left out. But I have great news for you. Every believer, if you're here this morning, even if you're not here this morning, and there's some that will be listening to this message on the internet, so if you're sitting in front of your computer and you're listening to this message, guess what? If you're a believer, God has gifted you. Every believer is gifted and chosen by the King himself to serve alongside him for the advancement of the kingdom. Our spiritual gifts are God's provision, enabling us to serve him effectively as a community of believers. Paul declares in Romans, in verse 6, he says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So whenever Paul wrote about the spiritual gifts, he really kind of hammered away. He took a chisel and hammer and he chipped at the false idea that only a few spiritually elite were gifted for service. You know, sometimes we think that. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not an expert. I'm not a geologist. I wouldn't know which rock would be effective. I thought that was a funny line that guy said. I'm not a professional. I'm not an expert in that area. That's not my area of expertise. Have you ever heard that? I can't serve that. I'm not gifted in that area. Well, maybe not, but what area are you gifted in would be the question. In the Corinthian community, there were individuals who wanted to brag about their spirituality based on their gifts. Okay? When in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing and he's kind of telling people, settle down. Get your attitude right. It's not about you. It's about everybody else but you. While Paul acknowledges that different gifts exist, he also says that in 1 Corinthians 12:6 that there are different activities, but the same God is active in everyone and in everything. God is not a God of confusion. And so he gives us a wide variety, as a group of believers, he gives us a wide variety of gifts that all can become, that can come together and be used as one body. He uses that example of the body of Christ. Think of your body, the fingers, the toes, the mouth, the nose, the ears, the stomach, the appendix. Not sure what good it does, but sometimes we have appendixes. I've had mine removed. That's a whole different sermon, and we're not going to go there. Listen, if all are gifted, there's two important things we must learn. Number one, there are no spectators in the body of Christ. There are no spectators in the body of Christ. You were saved and gifted by God, listen, to serve for the advancement of the kingdom. That's right. And the second thing is, all members of the body must work separately. No. I mean, listen, if I separate my arms, how much good are they going to do me? They're not. They must work together. Listen, must work together for the church to operate at full effectiveness. How many of you have ever seen a person that's an amputee that has had something that had to be removed? The first thing that comes to mind is I was watching the race last night. If you haven't figured this out, I watch NASCAR. I'm a NASCAR fan. And last night, the guy that said, gentlemen, start your engines. We always kind of rate on how well the guy says, gentlemen, start your engines. You know, sometimes they go, drivers, start your engines. And I'm kind of like, what kind of deal is that? Or they'll have some guy, he'll go, drivers, start your engines. And it just kind of makes, you know, you got to say, gentlemen, start your engines. You got to do it with enthusiasm, right? Well, last night, this guy, he was enthusiastic, and I was like, yeah. Well, he was a retired sergeant in the from the Army, and he is the executive something, direct executive director of the Fallen Warriors, Wounded Warriors. Okay, where our soldiers come back and they're wounded, and they kind of work with them and help them get incorporated back into society and function. Well, as they zoomed back after he had done all this, it was great. I was like, yeah, that guy's fired up. He knows how to do it. He's a staff sergeant in the Army. Of course he would. They zoomed back. Well, he's missing his legs from here down. He's got titanium alloy legs down there, you know. And I thought, wow. And he's just operating, getting on. Let me tell you something. As good as those are, I bet he wished he had his other ones back. Because his others could do things probably better. Okay? Now, he can still get along. Listen, this has great implications. We can still function with missing body parts. We can still function if everything's not working like it should. We can still function, but we're not going to function with full effectiveness. You catch me? We must use, and if you're out there, if you're one of those legs that's just saying, well, I'm just going to be an amputated leg today. Guess what? The body needs you. The body needs you. You are important to the work of the church. Spiritual gifts seem to create two problems, very distinct problems, and they concern evaluation of the gifts. There are some that over-evaluate, which results in spiritual pride, arrogance, and disunity. Well, I am good at this. This is my gift. I am this, and we hold that gift up higher. It creates an area of pride. Gifts, listen. Gifts tell us little about the possessor, but everything about the giver. When you are given a gift, it doesn't say anything about you. It says about the one who gave the gift. Right? Ladies, how many of you like the Cracker Jack's box rings that come out of the Cracker Jack? How many of you would like that for your engagement ring? And nobody's raising their hand out there. How many of you want your husband, your fiance, whatever, to go down and have spent a lot of money on this ring because it's big and it's genuine and it's real? How many of y'all want that ring? Nobody wants that ring either? Okay, all right, Misty does. Everybody, Misty wants that ring. What it says is somebody thought enough of me that they went out and they sacrificed. They spent a lot of money. Thank you very much. They went and they put a lot of work into this for me. It says very little about the person, but it says everything about the giver. Since all gifts are the expression of God's grace, why would anybody become arrogant? If God has been gracious enough to bless me with a gift, why would I flaunt that and say, I am the best at this? The other problem is under evaluation. It's when a person concludes that they have no gift, and so they just kind of hang out. They sit on the sidelines. They never get involved in kingdom activity of the church. Did you know that some studies actually show that less than 25% of the members of the average evangelical church are involved in any meaningful way in the ministry of their church? Less than a quarter of people ever really get involved in ministry in the church. Under evaluation is a sin. I think it's a sin because it denies the clear teaching of God's word and it deprives the church of the services of gifted members. Why has God given you a gift? Somebody tell me. To be used. That's right. God doesn't waste. And if he gave you a gift, it's because he expects you to use it. Paul's answer to both of these problems is really the same. He says in Romans 12:3, with sober judgment, or maybe this translation says, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Any Christian who fails to discover and utilize his or her gift in the service or through the church sins against Jesus, I believe, and weakens the body, weakens the church. If you've been given a gift and you refuse to use it, the body doesn't function to its fullness. You're an amputated leg or an arm, or maybe you're the appendix that we spoke of earlier. I don't know. But guess what? I don't know what the appendix does, but surely it's there for something other than just to get infected and have to be removed. Now, in Romans 12:4, Paul says, "Now we, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not function the same." Now, that's true. Our diversity enables us to experience unity. And it sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But our diversity allows us to experience unity. If we were all arms, how would we walk to the neighboring house? Right? We need legs. We can see this clearly when we look at the human body. Each of our body parts plays a different role, but they all must work in cooperation with the other if the body is going to function as it's intended. Remember, we can function without legs. We can function without an arm. We can function without an eye or eyes or ears. We can function without that, but it's not going to be as was intended or as fully as we could, not as effective as we could be. Paul made this point when he compared the body over in 1 Corinthians. We're not going to go there right now. But listen, this idea has two very important truths. First, no one individual, no matter how gifted that person is, can do it all. It can't happen. If you're dependent on one person to do it all, guess what? You are going to be disappointed. It just can't happen. It won't happen, and it won't happen because it can't. It's just impossible. One person cannot do it all. And secondly, every member must do his or her assigned task if the body is to be unified and effective. One person can't do it all. It depends on many people coming together, being unified. We depend on one another. You know what they call that word? Interdependence. We depend on one another, and we're made that way. You know, Paul refers to the body, and you've heard me say that a dozen times already this morning. But the body depends on other parts. My toes. You know how the blood gets to my toes? It depends on my heart to get it there. You know how the blood gets into the the oxygen gets into the blood? It depends on the lungs. The heart can't do that. It depends on the lungs to do that, and then the heart distributes it. Just think about that. There's all these things. You know, the foot can't feed itself. Some of you may have tried that, but it probably didn't work out real good. Spiritual gifts make us dependent upon one another. They do. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I don't need the church or other believers to live the Christian life"? You ever heard that? I can be a Christian. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And y'all, guess what? That's true. But you can't be a Christian with all effectiveness that God desires for you apart from the body. It won't happen. Won't happen. Nothing could be further from the truth. The fact that no one has all the gifts makes us dependent upon each other. As members of one body, we are so interrelated that when one part rejoices, guess what? All parts rejoice. When one part suffers, guess what? All parts suffer. Anybody part, body member, separated from the life of the body, has neither purpose nor life. Wow, think about that for a minute. If I decide that I'm just going to be this amputated part over here, I'm not going to be useful, I'm just going to sit over here, guess what? You're not useful. And there's no vitality there. It's missing. God didn't design you to be that. God did not design you to lay on the sideline. God didn't design you to be disconnected, useless, and just become dead weight. God didn't design that for you. God designed you to have a part, to have a functioning part, to be important, to be active, to be involved, to carry the load that your body, your part has been designed to do, to use the gift that God gave you for the purpose he gave it to you. And that purpose is this: for the glorification of him through the church. I believe that with all my heart, y'all. Spiritual gifts are distributed by God with one goal: the building up of the body of Christ. Gifts are not given for our amusement. They're not given for our entertainment. They're not given to us so we can wow our friends and make them stand in awe and amazement. They're given to enable the church to accomplish God's purpose. Knowing this should lead every one of us to desire those gifts, the ones that are most likely to build up our church. Listen to Paul's advice in 1 Corinthians 4:12. He says, "So also you, since you are zealous in matters of the Spirit, seek to excel in building up the church." Many individuals and many churches suffer from a spiritual inferiority complex. We think, we plan, we budget as if it all depends on us. Isn't that funny? If it's going to get done, I have to do it because it depends on me. And we really kind of amputate ourselves when we do that. Listen, y'all, we serve a sovereign God. That means he does what he wants, when he wants, however he wants to do it. And he owes nobody any explanations. Isn't that cool? He doesn't have to explain himself to anybody. He is sovereign. And he has infinite resources. And guess what he wants to do with those resources? He wants to make them available and accessible to us as we join him in advancing his kingdom. Not only here, but to the ends of the earth. Wherever we are, even right here at Dolan Baptist Church. What is your gift? How has God gifted you? And then the response is, the required response is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? We have areas in this church that desperately need someone to step up. Especially right now in light of what we talked about earlier with in our youth area. We have an immediate need right now for someone to teach that group of kiddos every Sunday morning. That's the first need we have right now. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. We're also going to talk about where do we go from here. So I'm not sure exactly what all that's going to entail, but guess what? We're going to get there. I told the kids this morning. I said, we're going to get there. We're not abandoning you. We're in this together. They are just as much as a part of this church as anybody else in this building. And we're going to do everything we can. But guess what? That may require you. It may require you doing something, stepping up, saying, I can't do something all the time, but I can do something this time. I can do this on this day. I can do whatever. But guess what? We're all in this together. Be here tonight. This is important tonight. I hope you're going to be here tonight for that. But let me tell you this morning. Nobody is excused. God doesn't give excuses. He doesn't say, your gift, I don't want you to use it. Have you ever thought about that? Giving somebody a gift for Christmas? Saying, here is this gift. I put a lot of thought into it. And it was, you know, kind of costly. I bought this, and I give it to you. But I don't even want you to open it. I just want you to kind of set it aside. You can tell people you got a great gift, okay? You can tell people, I got a gift. You can put it on the shelf and let people see it, you know, wrapped up. But don't open it. Could you imagine doing that? God doesn't do that to you either. When he gives you a gift, he's like sitting there waiting. Have you ever done that? You give somebody a gift, you know what's inside, and you know they're going to be like excited when they get it. And so you open it. I mean, you give it to them and you go, open it. Open it. And you're expecting, waiting, because you know that they're going to get it and it's going to be something they can use. And you're like waiting. You're excited. That's how I vision God. He's given us you. He's given you a gift, and he's like going, use it, open it. And sometimes we just take him and go, oh, but the paper's too pretty to tear. How many of you ever have taken a knife and you cut the scotch tape so carefully, then unfolded the paper so you could keep it and reuse it? Has anybody ever done that? I've got so many gifts with recycled paper, it's pitiful. But sometimes we do that. Sometimes we look at the outside and say, oh, this is too pretty to mess with. I'm not going to use that. I don't know if you know what it is yet, but it's so pretty. I just want to look at it. That's not why God gave it to you. He wants you to tear it open. Get rid of the outside stuff that's not useful. Open it up. Get in there. Get that gift and put it to use. I don't know what your gift is. Chances are you do. But here's the deal. If you don't, that's okay. Ask God to show you what it is. And guess what? He'll do it. Because he wants you to use it. That's why he gave it. What I want us to do right now, just for a few moments, before we have a hymn of invitation, I just want us to have a time of prayer. I feel we're kind of at a junction, at a crossroads right here at Dolan Baptist Church with some immediate needs that we have. And so I want us to enter into this time not saying, do we have anybody who will volunteer? Do we have somebody? We need to find somebody, something. We don't care how good you are. Or anything. No, that's not where we're going with this. We want to bathe this thing with prayer because God has somebody in mind to lead our youth. I want us to enter this time, this season, and with a time of prayer. I want us to do that this morning. So I'm going to invite you. I'm going to invite you as people of this church, as leaders and men and women of this church, to come to this altar and join me up here, and let's just spend a few moments in prayer, specifically for the needs that are needed here at Dolan Baptist Church. And then we'll go into a time of invitation and offer you a chance to respond if you want to, or if you choose to, or if you feel called to. But first and foremost, can we do that? I just want us to, if you don't mind. And if you would come and join me at the altar to pray. You don't have to get on your knees if you can't do that. But would you come and let's join as the body of Christ, and let's pray for this church just for a few moments.